I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, roamingoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, I'm first of all going to be talking with Jeff Diath from Checkweight. Now, yep. He's become a regular on the program.
Yes, that's good.
A wealth of information in relation to all the acronyms for weights and measures, yes, and so on and so forth. And he's going to be talking this week specifically about Land Cruisers.
Oh, okay.
Then, straight after that,
We're going to be talking to Ben and his daughter Poppy. Now, Ben is travelling with his wife and all up four children and their dog Dusty. We met them at the Denman Hotel at the free camping.
Well, that free camping, I've got to mention, listeners, the free camping along the side, the Royal Hotel in Denman. And I've got to tell you, it is absolutely fabulous. You can stay there for up to three nights and it's free.
Yes, and they've got showers and toilets.
And they're hot showers and,
yes,
the
and,
toilets.
And a washing machine
and
a dryer.
And
but a dollar a go, I think it was.
The washing machines and dryers are gold coin operated, but the showers, which are hot and fabulous, and the toilets, all free for, yep, up to three nights. And, of course, if you're going to stay at the Royal Hotel in Denman, make sure you grab yourself a meal, because I'm going to be chatting there with Mel. But Mel's going to tell us all about the hotel, but I've got to tell you, the food there, absolutely fantastic.
Yes, it was.
And make sure you say hello to their fabulous, talented chef. Now, his name is Palash Chandrasaha.
Yes.
He's Indian.
Yes, he is, and the food was delish. We had salt and pepper squid, and honestly, the dressing was to die for.
That's their own recipe.
Yes, it is.
They wouldn't tell us what was in that recipe. And also, as well as that, we're going to finish up with Mick Byrne from
RV Caravan Repairs Servicing in Heatherbrae.
Now, as well as all of this, we've got this fantastic selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So what do you think, Lynn?
On with the show.
Phil C here, listeners, and this is Roaming Oz. If you've just joined us, this is the program where we take you on the road. And if we can't take you on the road, we take you to the experts with all the knowledge on travelling on the road. Now, we've got Jeff, our regular on the program, Jeff Diath. How are you today, Jeff?
I'm fit and fit, Phil. Flat out like a lizard drinker, but yeah.
Flat out like a lizard drinker. That's good to hear. That's great. That means people are paying attention to all this fabulous information you're giving us. Because I did mention on the last program we spoke that I'm going to be getting this brand new caravan. I'll be knocking on your door saying, hey, can I actually tow this thing out of the dealership? Because it's got a lot of extras on it. So, yeah, I'll definitely be one of your customers.
And you did mention that you've got an upgraded Land Cruiser.
I do.
That will be
interesting.
So what GVM upgrade did you get?
I actually went to Petters. We are talking, I should let the listeners know before we talk about my particular vehicle. Listeners, last week, if you joined us, you would be aware that this week we are specifically talking about Land Cruisers. Because I've got one, I've got a 76 series. And of course, probably the most famous of all Land Cruisers, the fabulous Twin Turbo 200 series. Tell us a little bit about these. We can talk about mine if you like, but hey, there's a lot more 200s out there than 76s, I think.
Yeah, well, in actual fact, I was driving up the M1 yesterday, and I had four white Land Cruisers.
Yeah.
200s. Actually, there was three 200s.
Yep.
And I think it was a 300, too, if I haven't actually one yet.
Oh, wow.
I've got a few customers waiting on them so that I can actually weigh them.
Yep.
But, yeah, I haven't actually weighed a 300 series yet. So
okay.
I'm looking forward to doing one of those.
Right.
So I had four Land Cruisers, all white, in front of me on the highway. actually, none of them were actually towing. But, anyway, that's another story.
Yep.
So I suppose I check weight. And why I talk about Land Cruisers is because it is the number one, the Land Cruiser 200 series is the number one vehicle that I've weighed.
Okay.
We've done around 500 weighs of combinations. I think I mentioned that.
Yes.
We've probably done about 80 Land Cruiser 200 series.
Okay.
So it is out there as probably the best tow vehicle, or it's pushed as the best tow vehicle.
Yep.
But, you know, it's got a good power, it's got good footprint, you know, it's got the size.
Right.
But the issue that I see for owners is the poor payload that
comes
with a Land Cruiser 200 series.
Okay. So what does that mean, poor payload?
Okay, so when you buy a vehicle, it comes with a tare weight. So this is the manufactured weight of the vehicle.
Okay.
And then you have what we call the GVM, or the gross vehicle mass.
Right.
So that's the limit that the vehicle can weigh.
Okay.
And on a Land Cruiser, it's in the vicinity of 610 to 700 kilos, depending on the model you buy.
Right.
Now, 610 kilos on, a Land Cruiser Sahara is not a lot of weight.
Right.
When you consider when you hook up to a big caravan, you might have 300 kilos on the tow ball.
Yep.
So half your tow ball weight is taking your payload.
Yeah.
So then you put a couple of people in it, and I'm not sure about you, Phil, but, you know, I'm on the wrong side of 90 kilos at the moment.
Yep.
And, you know, my wife is less. All good wives are less.
Yes.
But, you know, so there's another 160 or so kilo.
Right.
You fill it up with a tank of fuel, and you've got nothing left.
Wow.
And so you've got this big wagon
that
you actually can't put much in.
Yep.
Now, if you put a bull bar and a winch or a snorkel a kayak on the top, all that weight is coming out of your payload.
Wow.
And that's why, you know, the majority of Land Cruisers that I weigh are either at their GVM or, in most cases, over their GVM.
Yeah.
Gross vehicle mass.
Yeah, look, I met a fella in 1770 with a 200 series. He'd retired, he sold his home, he bought a brand new 200 series. He had this brand new flash caravan, and he wanted all the toys, all the bells and whistles on the Land Cruiser, long range fuel tank. He had a bull bar on the front winch and racks on the front on the top and side steps. And I mean, this thing looked like it was designed to go to hell and back. And he said, you know what, I can't even get in it because I'm overweight.
Yeah.
I hooked my car up and my caravan up and I can't even touch it because it is overweight. And I said, well, why I get all this gear? And he said, oh, well, you know, I bought it new and the salesman never told me anything. And he's having a bit of a battle at the moment because he's got this vehicle that technically he can't actually use for what he bought it for.
And I suppose, you know, in a lot of respects, this is not just common on the Land Cruiser. One of the things that I say is, you know, I mean, for example, a dual cab Ranger or a, you know, D-Max or something has around 1,000 kilos of payload.
Yep.
So, you know, there's 400 kilos or 350 kilos more payload.
Yeah.
So that's quite substantial.
Yes.
But in the Land Cruiser specifically, if you buy a Sahara, they have less than the GXL because they have a few more nice bits, you know, a little bit more leather, a little bit more, you know, matting and things like that.
Mm.
So all this weighs something.
Yep.
In fact, I did weigh a Land Cruiser and the guy had the seats down, he had some stuff in the back, and he was well over.
Yep.
And he said, do you know this mat that covers, you know, the whole floor?
Yep.
It weighs 15 kilos.
Wow.
And he just pulled it out there and then because he said, you know, like if I'm 100 kilos over, I can't just find 100 kilos. I've got to find, you know, 10 kilos here, 15 kilos here.
Of course.
So, you know, you add mats to the car, that's adding weight. If you add seat covers, it's not a lot, but they all add up.
Yep.
You put a CB radio in or a UHF radio, a snorkel, pull bar, as we said. The tow ball, it adds the actual mechanisms there, but the tow ball isn't. And then you add a weight distribution hitch, which actually adds more weight.
Yes.
So all these things just add weight and add weight.
Yeah.
So that's why pretty well every Land Cruiser I weigh is hooked up to a big caravan, is over.
Yep.
In actual fact, I've had this argument with a few people and I weighed their vehicle not hitched.
Yes.
And as it stood there with not much in it, it was over.
Wow. Mm. Well, I know with my 76 series, I bought a 76 series, I bought it secondhand. And the reason why I bought the car secondhand was because it had everything on it. It had side steps. It had a big roof rack. It has, when I say had, it still does have. And I ended up getting a GVM upgrade because side steps, roof rack, big bull bar on the front, a big solid steel bar, a winch, two tyres hanging off the back, wheels and tyres, driving lights, light bar, you know, long-range fuel tank. The list goes on, and I thought, oh, this has got everything. And when I started to discover things about, you know, weights and things, I thought, and it was only that I met a chap in Tasmania when I was travelling, and he looked at my vehicle. He had a 100 series Land Cruiser, which he'd left absolutely stock. There was nothing to that car other than he'd put a bull bar on it. A tow bar on it to tow the vehicle. He looked at my cruiser and he said, wow, you'd have to be overweight. And I thought, nah, I couldn't be. I mean, I've only just owned this vehicle. What do you mean? What's overweight? This is going back a few years now. Well, what does that mean, overweight? What are you talking about? I just bought this car. And when I took it to a weighbridge, I think, I can't remember the exact figure, but I had something like 50 kilograms to play with, and I didn't have the wife in the car. And, I mean, she weighs more than 50 kilograms. It was like, well, if I put the wife in the car, I'm overweight. And that was with no caravan attached. That was just the vehicle sitting there. And they said to me, well, you need to get rid of it. Do you need two tyres to drive around town? Get rid of them. Put one on when you need it. And it was like, well, they're all there. You know, I've got all this gear and I liked it and I wanted it. But I didn't consider what it was going to do. And then the next thing, you get your GVM upgrade, which I did, and I had it done with Pedders. But then all of a sudden you're into a different weight range and your registration goes up. I didn't know that either.
Well, yeah, and I mean the 70 series has more payload than the 200 series as well.
Yes, it does.
And they have a higher rear axle. So, you obviously had a lot of kit on it.
Yes.
Because I don't see as many 70 series overweight.
Yep.
I do see a few, but most of them are okay.
Or
pretty close. Yeah.
Okay. So what is the we won't say pitfalls because we don't want people thinking we're picking on Land Cruiser. I mean, I love them. I've got one. What's the best thing to do, I guess, before you go out and buy one? Do you really have to think, hey, should I get a GVM upgrade before I drive it out? What do you do? Because everything costs and people want to travel, but they don't want to travel if it's going to cost them so much. Because as I said, GVM upgrade, you're into a different weight range, you've got a more expensive registration.
Yes, and that's the issue. So, I mean, if you're paying, if you can actually get one, a 200 series is around, 100 grand at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That you need to actually spend another 4 or 5 grand on a GVM upgrade when on a brand new vehicle to tow is a bit rough, really.
Yeah.
However, you know, it's, I see it mostly as people adding extras.
Yeah.
So really, do you need all the extras that you're going to take?
Yes.
Now, if you want to put a fridge and drawers and things in the back, then you need to actually get an upgrade.
Yeah.
And it's probably we'll probably go through GVM upgrades on another show because it's a big subject.
It is a big
subject. But you also have to be careful how you get it upgraded because not all GVM upgrades are equal. In fact, I weighed a brand new Land Cruiser that the guy bought just before we got locked down in New South Wales last year.
Right.
And he was on long service, should have been in WA, he said. And so he spent the 2 months of lockdown decking out the back of this Land Cruiser.
Yep.
So it was brand new, upgraded from new.
Yes.
And when I weighed it, he was some 400 kilos over his rear axle.
400 kilos?
And without his wife and child in, because he had a teenager that were going on the big trip, he was about 100 kilos over his GVM, even though it had already been upgraded.
Wow.
So I suppose you can't just take everything. I mean, this was a good bit of kit. You know, he had a microwave and he had a fridge and, you know, it had everything in the back that you could possibly want and a few things that you probably don't need.
Yeah.
He had done a good job on it. So he hadn't wasted any space and everything was full.
Yep.
But you just can't fill the back of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because if you're at your GVM, then you'd be going to be likely over your rear axle as well.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, everything that you add, so you just got to be conscious.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to use the vehicle for?
Yep.
Is it going to be, you know, drive the kids to soccer on the weekend and then tow a caravan?
Yep.
It's a very different setup to if you're driving around Australia.
Of course.
So think of the uses. Everything's a compromise, I think, is the way I see it. So you can't have your cake and eat it too.
No. Good advice, Jeff. As always, fabulous advice, my friend. And we both want to say we're not picking on Land Cruiser. I love Toyota. My wife's had a Toyota car, and now she's got a Prado. We've had Toyotas all our life. We love them. They're the most popular one, I think, that out there for towing. So we just want to point out the possible pitfalls and really think about what you are going to need this vehicle for before you go and deck it out and, yeah, as you say, go to the soccer on Saturday and wife drive to the shops once a week.
Absolutely, Phil, because, you know, they have got a good, probably in the 200 series, you know, good V8 motor. And they've got a good footprint, but they're a heavy car to start off with.
Yep.
So you can't just keep adding weight and adding weight.
Understand. Yep. Fabulous. All right, Jeff, we're going to wind this up now. You did say last week that you were going to be on the show weekly. Do you think you're going to be able to commit to weekly, or would you rather switch to maybe once a fortnight? Because I know you're getting really, really busy. It's entirely up to you. I'd love to have you on the program once a week, but I don't want you to feel pressured by anything. What's your thoughts?
Phil, I think we can do weekly for a while.
Okay.
I've got lots and lots of content that we can talk about.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. So what about next week? What would you like to talk about next week then?
Well, I think we were talking about the Land Cruiser and how easy it is to get overweight.
Yep.
So we did five things on a previous show that put caravans over. So why don't we talk about the main five things that put vehicles overweight?
Fabulous. All right, listeners, we're going to talk about that next week. Before we go, Jeff, what's your favourite Aussie song for this week?
Well, I think, you know, with the lockdowns last year, this song is probably appropriate. Mm-hmm. But as soon as the lockdowns finished, how about we've got to get out of this place? By one of my favourite Aussie bands, The Angels.
Fabulous. All right, Jeff, we're going to get that right up now. Listeners, stick around, for we got to get out of this place by The Angels, not The Animals. We only play Aussie on this program, and we'll be back with more of Jeff next week, talking about the five pitfalls of overweight in your vehicles. Thank you so much for your time, Jeff.
Thanks, Phil. Have a great day.
I will. Thank you.
Turning gray, he's been working and slaving his life away.
Oh, hello, listeners. My name is Phil C, and we're at the Royal Hotel in Denman, and I'm chatting with Ben and Poppy, and they're full-time travellers on the road. How are you both going today, guys?
Very good.
We're great today. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today. First thing that got my attention, Ben, was your rig. Now, it's an 80s-style caravan, would you say?
Yeah, a Millard, I think.
It's a Millard. Now, you bought it, obviously, secondhand, because you know we're near that age, and you pulled it all apart, apparently.
Yeah,
Tell us a little bit about that.
Very much apart.
Okay.
It was bought sight unseen.
Right.
Very cheap, very, very much of a bargain.
Okay.
And after we got it home, we sort of figured out why it was a bargain.
Okay.
I had to replace a lot of the skirts all around the van. Were all rotted away and rusted away.
Okay.
So I pulled all the panels off it,
okay.
All the outside panels off,
yep.
All the internal panels off,
okay.
Everything was okay. A bit of a wreck.
Okay, and now she's almost restored to its brand new condition. You got this mural down the side. Who painted the mural? Was that Poppy, was it? Poppy, tell us a bit about the mural, darling. Where did you get the idea from?
Well, there's this beach near our house that we love, so we kind of thought we'd bring it with us.
Okay, that's a fabulous idea. So wherever you are, there's always a little bit of home.
Yeah.
A little bit of home with you, and that's a great idea. Now, home's Victoria, but you are full-time travellers. So you've been on the road on this particular part for only about 4 days. Now, tell us a bit about that. Where are you heading?
We're actually heading, first destination's Korakai.
Right.
Or Koraki.
Yep.
I'm not sure how we
Korakai,
pronounce it.
Korakai, I think.
Yep. They've just been hit by the floods recently.
Yep.
And a friend of a friend up there needs help.
Yes.
So that was our first destination. That was our main goal for this mission.
For this mission, yes.
Just to start there and see if we could help.
See, yep.
They'd been forgotten in the flood recovery a little bit.
Yes.
Korakai.
Absolutely.
And, they've been struggling. They've lost everything. They lost a studio and a house.
Wow.
All okay. of their things in it.
Yes.
They can't currently come back to the house yet.
Yep.
Until it's all been cleaned and signed off that it's not a health hazard.
And not a health hazard, yes.
So we're meant to go and help them, but it's actually raining at the moment.
Yes, yes.
So we're in a bit of a hold pattern until we know what's going on, if it's safe or not to go in.
Yeah. Well, you've got a good spot here, the Royal Hotel. It's got free camping, which is fabulous. And as well as that, it's also got showers and toilets. So it's comfortable and it's costing you nothing.
Exactly.
And
we had a good dinner there last night.
Yes.
To help them keep it going for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a good idea.
Well, we had a fabulous meal over there. That's on one of the other chats I had with the people in the hotel. But let's get back to you guys. Now, you're full-time travellers, and I notice you're a large group.
Yeah, we might be a few.
How long is this van? It's not that big, is it?
It's an 18 or 19 foot, I think, in the old school.
Okay. So it's 18, 19 foot in the old school. You have 4 children.
Yes.
A wife.
Yes.
And a dog named Dusty.
Yeah, we've got them all in.
Yeah.
So it does get a little bit hectic if it rains.
Yeah, it can be. So have you got something for the outside if it rains, or do you just sit in there and...
No. We try and pull the awning out and put the outdoor tent out.
Okay.
Which gives us another undercover space and another room.
Okay. Right. Well, look, at least you've got somewhere to run and hide to, so that's a good idea. I would love to have spoken to your wife, but she's a bit shy. How is it travelling with 4 kids on the road full-time because you've got homeschooling? Who's responsible for the homeschooling? Is that mum or yourself?
It's mostly Jen.
Mostly the wife?
The wife.
Yeah.
But she's busy doing homeschool right now with the kids.
Okay.
As we chat.
So she didn't actually chicken out. She just thought, I've got other duties to perform.
Yeah, she might have prioritised getting the schoolwork done.
Okay.
Before we head off for the next little bit. But it's always good to get the kids' work done.
Absolutely.
Before we go and do the fun stuff.
Okay. So Poppy, what's it like being a full-time traveller living on the road with homeschooling?
Well, it's awesome.
Yes?
It's like with so many new places that I haven't seen.
Right.
So we get... Well, basically, we can see them all.
Absolutely. And what's it like as mum's as teacher? Like, you can't just throw your arms up in the air and say, I can't do this today, because mum's the boss at every minute of the day, isn't she? So how is she as a teacher?
She's a lot better than Dad.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
That's a bit harsh, Poppy. And Dad's standing right next to you. Oh, but she muscles in for a snuggle, so she loves Dad too, eh?
Yeah,
but mum's definitely the better teacher, is she?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So the best thing about homeschooling is you get to travel and you get to see new places. Yeah. Do you know some of the places you've seen? Have you got a few favourites that you've seen you'd like to go back to at some time?
Yeah.
Which ones are they?
Airlie Beach up Queensland.
Yep, that's a fabulous spot. So when did you do the Airlie trip, Ben?
That was probably 2 years ago.
Okay.
2 years ago when Hazel was just a bub.
And how old's Hazel?
She's almost three now.
Almost three. So, wow. So she would have been like a real tiny tot.
Yes, very much.
It's a handful. What made you decide to give up your house? Because you mentioned before, when we were chatting before the interview, that you're a full-time carpenter.
Yeah, well, we've given up the house, so yep. That sort of helps pay our way around
okay.
for the trip as well.
So you're renting out your house?
Yeah, renting it out.
Okay, and are you doing any work on the way apart from the volunteer stuff?
Yeah, after we do that, we're going to keep going up north and yep. we're going to try and find some work.
Okay.
Seems like there's a few fun jobs and there's a few work and stay places.
Okay, yeah.
As well.
That's the good thing, you know. There's so many places that you can get work today now. I was chatting with a chap who's got a business called Work About Australia. And he said there's 800,000 jobs throughout Australia in all areas, whether it be hospitality or fruit picking. So I'm sure you're not going to have a problem finding work.
Yeah, if I manage to get some fruit picking, that'd be a fun one to show the kids anyway.
Yeah, look,
I'm sure. Stay on a farm.
And what do you think, Poppy? You think you'd like to pick some fruit?
Yeah.
You think that'd be fun?
Yeah.
All righty, fabulous stuff. So you're going to do this volunteer stuff. You're helping out the flood victims. And you've got no time limit, no destination, no time limit.
Absolutely no destination except for that first one.
Yep.
Which I'm not sure if we'll be able to get in or not.
Yep.
Just watch the channels and see if we can actually
get in. Get in and help out.
And I don't want to be a burden.
No.
We don't want to burden them.
No.
If we're going to stay close, yep. we don't want to stay too close where we're actually drawing resources. So we've come fully self-sufficient.
Yes.
We'd be self-sufficient for at least a month and a half of just what we've got with us.
Okay.
Which is pretty epic. That's why we're a little bit heavy at the moment.
Yeah, look, I noticed that. That was the very first thing that drew my attention to your van, because you've got this 80s-style caravan, and there was no such thing as a solar panel in the 80s, and you've got this fabulous little setup which you did yourself. Tell us a little bit about it, because it draws solar while you're driving.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
All right, I'll give it a crack to see if I can best explain it.
Yep.
We wanted to have a proper size fridge for our family because
yes.
we've got a big family.
Yep.
And we tried those chest freezers
mm-hmm.
and figured that we just couldn't use it with this amount of people.
Yep.
We needed a bigger fridge.
Okay, yep.
And the bigger fridges for this kind of rig with your gas and all of that were very expensive.
Yes.
And we couldn't really afford it at the time, so we decided to put a regular fridge in.
Yes.
Which is a bar fridge plus a little bit more,
yep.
I guess.
Yep.
You'd call it a small, very small fridge or a giant bar fridge.
Okay, yep.
Whichever one.
Yes.
And we're running that off an inverter.
Yep.
And we've got these two panels on the front of the van that I guess you could call it, they flip up, they can tilt.
Yes.
So when we're driving along, the panels are down on the front.
Yep.
And they might cop a few bugs here and there
yep.
while you're driving.
That's fine,
but
yep.
they're still charging up.
Yeah.
And then when we park somewhere like this, what we can do is we can tilt them towards the sun.
Yes.
So we're picking up the sun as much as we can. And
yeah.
if we're around the van, we can almost chase the sun with it, like
absolutely.
Those tilting panels that go up and down.
So you thought this up yourself?
Yeah. Well, we wanted to stick the panels on the top of the roof, but the roof, as it turns out, isn't actually very strong.
Okay.
I think they made it with cardboard and old timber.
Because
when I opened it up, it was all sagging down.
Yeah.
So what I've got in there now will work, but yeah. it would never take any solar panels.
Wouldn't take the panels. No. And they're large panels. They're 200 watts each. So you've
yeah.
got 400 watts of solar.
Yeah.
So you've actually got more solar on this tiny little van than I've got on this brand new 2022, which was loaned to me by the company that sponsors the travel show.
Wow.
So that is a brand new Hurricane Toughmaster next door,
yep.
2022. And you have more solar panels on yours than I do.
Well, I don't want to tell you about I'm carrying a small fold-out one in case we need a little extra.
A little
boost.
Extra. But you got a battery in there. Have you ever had an issue with running out of power for the fridge and so on or no?
We have run out on uh-huh. 5 days of overcast weather, a bit like what we've got now.
Yep.
We have run out.
Yep.
But on those particular days, it was cold anyway, yep. so the fridge stayed cold.
The fridge was good.
In the fridge,
yep.
I've actually got the freezer. Freezer doesn't actually work as a freezer for food.
Okay.
We've got about 9 litres of ice.
Okay.
In there.
Okay.
So the way that works is like a batch, it stores the energy from the solar when we're overproducing. Yes. It turns it into ice.
Yes.
So then when we run out, or if we run out, it actually uses the cool ice to keep the fridge cold until... It's like having another battery. It's like
amazing.
A free battery.
And did you just come up with that yourself again?
That was a little bit of... I watched a few off-grid people trying to live with chest freezers.
Yes.
And they do the same thing. They charge up their whole chest freezer with ice.
Okay.
So they'd have pretty much a solid ice block and use that as a battery for keeping the rest
just
of their
keeping
cool.
It cool. Yeah. Fabulous idea. I've never heard of it.
So I miniaturised it.
It's a fabulous idea. So even if you run out of solar for the battery,
yep.
You've got this big 9 litre ice block.
Yeah, it's an ice block.
Which virtually keeps the fridge cool until you can get some energy again.
As long as we say kids don't open the fridge too much.
Fabulous idea. That's fantastic.
Getting a little bit of draw.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we're going to have to wind this up in just a sec. So what I was wondering is, I've got to play an Aussie song for you. So what's your favourite Aussie act or Aussie band, singer, whatever?
What we'd like listening to is The Seekers, and We Are One, We Are Many. There's a couple of versions, but...
Yes, you particularly want The Seekers.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous version, and I do get it requested quite often, so I'm going to play that for you. Do you like The Seekers, Poppy?
Yes.
So are you the sort of girl who sits in the back of the car and you're singing along, We Are One...
Yes.
But we are many. Fabulous. All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks, Ben.
No worries at all. Phil.
Thanks, Poppy. We're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after We Are One by The Seekers.
I come from the dream time, from the dusty red soil plains. I am the ancient heart, the keeper of the flame. I stood upon the rocky shore, I watched the tall ships come. For 40,000 years I've been the first Australian. I came upon the prison ship, bowed down by iron chains. I fought the land, endured the lash, and waited for the rains. I'm a settler, I'm a farmer's wife on a dry and barren run. A convict, then a free man, I became Australian.
I'm the daughter of a digger who sold the mother lode. The girl became a woman on the long and dusty road. I'm a child of the depression.
I saw the good times come.
I'm a bushy, I'm a battler. I am Australian.
We are one, but we are. Share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australia.
I'm a teller of stories, I'm a singer of songs. I am Albert Namatjira, and I paint the ghostly gum. I'm Clancy on his horse, I'm Ned Kelly on the run. I'm the one who waltzed Matilda, I am Australian.
I'm the hot wind from the desert, I'm the black soil of the plains. I'm the mountains and the valleys, I'm the drought and flooding rains. I am the rock, I am the sky,
the rivers when they run, the spirit of this great land. I am Australia. We are one.
share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australian. I am, you are, we are Australian.
Oh, hello, listeners. Phil C here. If you've just joined us, the program is called Roaming Oz, and I'm in Denman today at the Royal Hotel chatting with Mel. How are you, Mel?
I'm good, good. Thank you very much.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure to be here. I've got to tell you, this is a fabulous hotel.
She is a beautiful place.
Absolutely beautiful. Now, can you tell us, how long has the hotel been here?
The hotel was established in 1913.
Right.
Yes.
So it's been here a long time. Had a few
very
owners.
Very long time. Yes. This owner has had it for 25 years, though.
Wow. Okay. So yes. He obviously knows a good deal when he sees
good
pub. Now, what about you, Mel? How long have you been here?
I've been here 6 years.
6 years?
6 years, yes.
Okay. So you're not a local to Denman?
No, definitely not. Okay. But I'm a local now.
You're a local now. You've been here 6 years and obviously no intention of ever leaving.
Oh, not for a long time.
Look, it's a great pub. I can understand why you'd want to stay here.
Yes.
Now, the thing that attracted me to this particular place, because I do a lot of travelling, as you know, is your free caravanning.
Yes, our free camping spots, yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about that? How does that work?
So you come for a visit to Denman and we have free camping available. We have about 30 places plus available.
Really?
With maybe future expanding on that.
Okay.
Just come on by, pick a spot, and away you go. We've got showers, hot showers, toilets, amenities, washing machines, dryers, everything for everyone. And then come on over to the pub and have a nice feed, a lovely beer, cold beer, very cold beer.
Yep.
And enjoy a very old, nice-looking pub.
Okay. It is a lovely pub. Now, how long have you been doing the free camping?
We've been doing the free camping about 2 years.
Okay. And whose idea was that? Was that yours or...?
No, that would be the owner, Mark. That was his idea. Mm-hmm. With COVID and everything messing so much about, so many people couldn't travel where they wanted to travel to. So when they were allowed out of their homes, travelling New South Wales was the go.
Okay.
So little old Denman is in the middle of Mudgee, Newcastle, and pop on by on the way through and stay the night.
Fabulous. Now, how long can you stay? Can you only stay one night?
No, you can stay multiple nights. So we have the free 3 nights.
Okay.
And then after that, there's just a small fee.
Okay.
And that's it. Yeah. Okay.
Fabulous. So do you have to be self-contained? I mean, do you have to contain your water from your shower and your toilet, or can you just run it onto the grass, fire the hose? Or for their grey water, though, which is what comes out of the shower or their sink, do they need a grey water tank on their caravan, or can they just let that run onto the grass and feed your plants? Because that's just water out of
the... that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Perfectly fine.
Fabulous. So they don't even need a grey water tank, which most caravans nowadays do, and... You know, if they don't, that's fine too.
Yep.
No problem. So what can a person see? Like, if you come for one night, that's okay. You come in, you have a beer, you have a meal, you go on the next day. But if you stay 2 or 3 days, what is there to see in Denman? Because it's only a small town, isn't it?
It is. Denman is a very small town. But we have a beautiful main street with some little novelty shops.
Okay.
And then we have a beautiful winery called Two Rivers Winery.
Okay.
And they are not even 5 minutes away.
By car?
You can walk if you like. Probably about half an hour walk.
Okay.
But probably drive.
Okay.
It's a lovely place to go sit down, enjoy some wine, and they generally do like a cheese platter for you guys as well. It's very nice out
there. Fabulous.
Yes.
Fabulous. And that's what a lot of people like. They like to do the wine tasting. So they'd no doubt have the wine tasting
out
there.
They definitely do, yes.
And it's only 5 minutes drive, which is absolutely, what can you say? And you've also got there's more than one winery, isn't there?
There is Small Forest Wines as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's, which is located about 10-minute drive.
10-minute drive?
10-minute drive.
Okay, it's only a few k's down the road. Yep. So, again, something there for the people that are into the wine tasting and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit. I understand you've got this festival coming up. It's called Denman Day Out. Is that
right? Yes, there is a Denman Day Out coming up.
Okay. So, is this the first time it's ever been on, this one? Is this a new one?
Yes, okay. Yes. This one will be our first one, yes.
Okay. So, do you know much about the Denman Day Out or not?
I know a little bit about Denman Day Out. So, it's on the 23rd of April.
Right.
And it's going to have live music, children's entertainment, food markets and local retailers, as well as a diesel, rust and dust truck and machinery show.
Oh, okay. Diesel, dust and rust machinery.
Yes. So that'll hold a lot of antique trucks and machines.
Uh-huh.
Vintage classics and other types. So
there you go. And that yes. And this is the first time this has been held.
Yes, this one will be
so
the first.
This is the first on the 23rd of April.
Yeah.
So
and there is a vehicle parade in the morning at 8:30 as
so
well.
So there you go, listeners. A vehicle parade. This is the first time you want to get out to this one. The Denman Day Out, April 23rd.
Yes.
Fabulous stuff. Is there anything else off the top of your head, Mel? Because you've been here now a few years. You've been working in the hotel.
I mean, Denman has always been the traveller's stop. Everyone pops on in and visits both our pubs and, yeah.
Because there is another pub in town. We won't mention that because this is the best pub in town. Okay,
yeah,
the
sure Royal is. Hotel. This is the one to be at.
The other hotel, though, they do have entertainment some nights of the week. Or
yeah, so we have our live bands on Friday nights.
Okay.
And they have theirs on Saturday nights.
Okay.
Yes.
But they don't have free camping.
They do not have free camping. They do not.
They don't have free camping. So you come here and camp, you watch the band here on Friday night, and you don't be a trader and go down there on
Saturday. Definitely not.
Fabulous, Mel. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my dear.
Thank you so much for having me.
Look, before I wind this segment up, I've got to play Aussie. I've only played Aussie music on this show. Do you have a favourite Aussie band?
Wow, Aussie band. I would probably have to go the Screaming Jets.
Okay.
And we'll play Better.
Better by the Screaming Jets?
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Mel.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure here at the Royal Hotel here in Denman. Stick around, listeners. We're going to be back with more Roaming Oz straight after the Jets. Better. 7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Oh, well, listeners, I'm Phil C, and this is Still Roaming Oz. You've joined us, and I'm here with Mick Byrne, and he is from RV Caravan Repairs and Servicings. How are you going today, Mick?
Good, thanks, Phil. Yourself, mate?
Mate, I'm having a fabulous time. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Not a problem, mate. Welcome.
Now, tell us a little bit about RV Caravans Repairs and Servicings. It's associated with 7th Street Caravan Yard in Heatherbrae, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, mate, yeah. Okay. It's just a workshop, it's just a separate name, same business.
Okay.
Same owners and all that, but yeah, we've just got the workshop separate and out of different premises at the moment now, so which
is good. Fabulous. Now, you are the manager of the workshop.
That's right,
yeah. So we've gone straight to the head here, listeners, okay? The manager of the workshop. Now, how long have you actually been involved in the RV caravan industry, Mick?
Probably about 33 years I've been on doing caravans.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know your stuff.
Oh, mate, yeah, long time, mate. Yeah,
long time.
Yeah.
So what did you start out as? Did you start out as a repair guy? How did it all come about for you?
No, I actually started out as a caravan washer.
Washing the vans?
Washing the vans, mate. I did it 5 days a week.
Okay.
I was washing vans, yeah.
Okay, and how long ago was that?
Oh, we're going back around 33 years now.
Okay, so yeah. You started out washing.
Yep.
And then you graduated into sales?
I worked myself way up a little bit. I started doing, they had a hire business as well, so I was doing... getting hire vans ready and delivering them all over the place.
Okay.
Okay, and I worked myself up from there into the workshop and so far under there and do a bit of sales.
Okay.
Started out doing a bit of sales and now I'm doing sales and managing the RV caravan repairs.
Fabulous. Now, how long have you been involved with 7th Street?
Oh, probably just over 10 years, probably 10 and a half years now.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And I know that you usually deal with the repairs when they used to come to the yard in Heatherbrae at 7th Street.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you've got this fabulous workshop. Tell us a little bit about the workshop. First of all, where's it located?
It's located at 13 Giggins Road, Heatherbrae.
13 Giggins Road?
Giggins Road, yep.
Okay.
Heatherbrae.
So, okay, and... How would they get in touch with them? Because this is relatively new, the workshop, isn't
it? Yeah, so we're just in the process of getting all the lines and that opening, so people are still ringing 7th Street and it gets transferred over to us.
Okay.
Or they email us and then we get the emails and ring the customer straight back.
Fantastic. Yeah. So just for the listeners, what's the number at the moment they need to ring to get in touch with you
guys? The number at the moment is 0249 875 288.
Okay, so again, listeners, that's 02-4987-5288, correct?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
All right, so tell us, what is the main sort of stuff you get through this workshop? Is it just your servicing? What do you do here?
No, we do everything, mate. We go from servicing bearings up to insurance work, air conditioner replacements, 12-volt problems, awning replacements, fabrics, awnings,
okay,
all that stuff, alterations.
Okay.
And stuff like that we do, yeah.
So customised work, if somebody came with a pre-loved old van and said, look, can you just
do a bit of a different lane?
Yeah, I'll have a look at doing things and just see how we go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous stuff. So, look, I know you've been in the business for a long time because I know you've dealt with friends of mine.
Yep.
They've rang you up even on a Sunday. I know they've had an issue and you don't mind helping
people. No, I don't mind
out.
People ringing, mate. You know, I'll get phone calls some late night, some nights, you know, when they've got little problems to talk them through.
Yeah.
But that's part of...
That's part of the
part of the servicing that you got to provide.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic because, you know, when people get a problem, the first thing they do is, well, who do I call? So,
yeah, exactly,
I mean,
you
guys have done it all. You've been around forever. And I know some stories of people have contacted me, which is why I wanted to talk to you. I mean, I've had people say to me that they had an issue with one of their vans and they've got in touch with you on the weekend, and you spoke them through it, and what they thought was going to be a major, you had it sorted out in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I try to help the best I can over the phone.
Yep.
And try to get them sorted and comfortable so things are still finish their weekend holiday, and then if it's any ongoing issue, we get them to come into the workshop.
Bring it into the workshop.
Yep.
So, how often is the workshop? Like, how many days a week does it open?
Okay, we're open 5.5 days a week.
Okay.
Monday to Friday is 8 till 4.
Yes.
And Saturday is about 8 till 12, 1 o'clock.
Okay, fantastic. Well, the only thing I can say is 7th Street Caravan Dealerships, that's a family-owned business that's been around for a long, long time.
Yes, yep.
Highly respected in the industry. You've been with them for over 10 years.
Yep.
And you've been in the RV industry for 35 years,
yeah,
you said?
Yeah, about just over 33 years, yeah.
So there wouldn't be much you wouldn't know about...
No.
Caravans.
No.
And it doesn't matter what brand of caravan?
No, it doesn't matter. But like all these new vans have got different technology. There are little bits that you're learning as you go.
Yep.
You know, going into newer stuff to the years when I started out, but it's all pretty straightforward on there. You try to sort it out. If not, you ring up the manufacturers and they help you out.
Okay, fabulous. I guess the main thing is, if somebody was to come into you and with an issue, if you had the parts right there and then, could you look after them right there and then? Or would
Most 90% of the time we can help straight on the spot, but sometimes, unfortunately, you do have to order parts.
Okay.
You know, and getting the part, once you get the parts in, you well, then ring up and say, bring the van back, or if I know I'm going to get it in a couple of days, they're happy to load the van there.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so I can fit up to probably about 10, 11 vans in the workshop.
Okay. And obviously it's a big area, so it doesn't matter if it's a little van or up to these big monster
things.
Yeah,
no, it's a pretty large size workshop.
Very large workshop.
It's good, yeah.
All right, fabulous. Mick, well, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah, you too, Phil.
You're absolutely... Yeah, look, you know your stuff. There's no doubt about that. Been in the industry for an awful long time, and you do everything from a simple service to a major repair insurance claim.
Yep. Yeah, well, NRMA, authorised repairer.
Yes.
Okay, and... all their major insurance companies and been doing it for a long time, yeah.
Fabulous, fantastic stuff. All right, Mick, well, I'm going to wrap this up now.
No worries, Phil.
Thank you so much for your time. Before I let you go, got to play an Aussie song. Has to be Aussie. Who's your favourite Aussie singer?
Lee Kernaghan, mate. That's it, mate.
All right, listen, stick around for Lee Kernaghan. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after this.
Honey, pack your bags, grab your old blue jeans. We're gonna go fishing in a mountain stream. I know a little shack way up in the hills, 25 miles from Harrietville. Up in the high country.
Honey, you should see all the stars up there. They shine so bright through the cold night air. Gonna build me a fire that'll burn real hot, and I'll stay with you at the old camp hut up in the high country.
I got a four-wheel drive and I'm ready to roll. I wanna go flying up an old dirt road, up in the hills where the Brumbies roam. This land that should be God's own in the high country. In the high country, yeah. In the drought of 1882, the Madisons brought the cattle through.
From Mountain Creek to the Staircase Spur, we'll follow the tracks where they push the herd. To the high country.
I got a four-wheel
where the snow gums stand. You can see forever across this land. In the high country, that's where I wanna be. Walking with you by a mountain stream. High country, that's where I wanna go. Get the bags packed, I'm ready to roll. An older road up in the hills in the snow gum stand. See forever across this land. Heading for the high country.
Ready to go.
Heading for the high country. Going to the high country.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or RomanOz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.